Okay, we start on the bottom of Ayin Hem with Bet. The Gemara left off with the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel about when we do Kinyan Mashicha, how much of a Mashicha do you have to do? Rav says, by the Spina, you have to be Mashach Kol Shehu, as long as you move the boat, any amount that's sufficient to be a Mashicha. Shmuel says, Lokana Shim Shochet Kula. It's not Konen until you pull the entirety, I mean the full length of the boat. You move the boat, the length, amount of the length of the boat. So Gemara tried to establish it as a machloket tanaim. Gemara rejected that. Now we're going to start again with another possibility of it being a machloket tanaim, which is the bottom of Ayin Hey, second to last line. Lema hakani tanai. Let's say that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is like another machloket tanaim that we have. The Tanya, Spina niknet b'mishicha. Spina, you can connect Spina with a kinya mishicha. Rabbi Natan Omer, Spina v'otiot niknot b'mishicha u'bishtar. That a Sfina, an otiot, otiot meaning a shtar, can be nikneh, you can take possession of them with mishicha or with a shtar. So Gemara says, otiot mantachar shamayu. Where did the otiot all of a sudden appear into this brisa? We're talking about a Sfina in the Tanakhama, and then all of a sudden an otiot show up in the brisa. So chasuri mechsra. Of course, the brisa is shorthand and is missing some words here. Vachiktani, Sfina nikneit b'mishicha. Ve'otiot b'misira, that a svina, you can take possession of a svina through a kinyan mishicha, and otiot again being a shtar, a loan document, meaning selling a loan, can be done through a kinyan misira. Rabbi Natan Omer, svina ve'otiot niknot b'mishicha u'bishtar. Rabbi Natan says no, that a svina and otiot can both be nikneh ayidei mishicha. So Gemara says shtar l'svina l'amali. Right, what's a shtar by a svina doing? I mean, that shtar is a vehicle for kinyan when you have, right, real property. By karko or nechasim sheesh lem achrayut, then you can use kesef shtar and chazakah. But shtar is not a vehicle for acquisition when it comes to metaltalin. Metaltalin, you either need ma'ot, if you think ma'ot konot, otherwise you need the other vehicles of hagbah, meshicha, mesira. We have other types of kinyanim that are shayach with metaltalin, but shtar is certainly not the vehicle for a kinyan by a metaltalim, or by a svina. Right? So as we mentioned earlier in the introduction to the parak, that's the same reason that this parak is separate from the previous parak. Mocheret abayit was all real property, and here mocheret svina, we're talking about metaltalim. So if here we're talking about metaltalim, what's the relevance of shtar over here? So, elolav hochiktani. This must be how to read the brisa at this point. Svina, niknet b'mishicha. One can be kona svina with a mishicha, be'otiot, and a shtar can be done through misira. Rabbi Natan Omer, Sfina b'mishicha, va'otiot b'shtar. So that a Sfina you can do with mishicha, which was the exact same as the Tanakamo, and an otiot b'shtar. And then a shtar, a single shtar, you can acquire through another shtar. So we have to investigate all of these items. But kinyan mishicha, as according to Rabbi Natan, says that kinyan mishicha is only shayach by a davar shigufo mamon, that has real value to it. I mean, that you can't use a kinyan misira or a kinyan mishicha necessarily by kinyan shtar, because it doesn't have gufo mamon. So now the Gemara says, svina b'mishicha ainu tanakamo. Right? They both say a kinyan mishicha works by a boat. So the Gemara says, elo derav ushmuel ike ben ayu. That's exactly the difference between them, is in Rav and Shmuel. They both agree, yes, you need a kinyan mishicha by the boat, but how much of a kinyan mishicha do you need? That'll be the difference between Rav and Shmuel. Now, who's Rav and who's Shmuel? Right? Meaning that, is the Tanakama Rav, or is the, right, is Rabbi Natan Shmuel? That's subject to machokas here between the Rashbam and Tosfos. The Rashbam says that, va'ato Rabbi Natan, the Hutana Batra, Rabbi Natan was the later Tana, litfuye, to add on, the afilu b'mishicha koshu niknet kirav. So that the Tanakama says, mishicha, you need a full kinyan mishicha like Shmuel. And Rabbi Natan says that even a kinyan like Rav, a kinyan koshu by mishicha is sufficient. That's the way the Rashbam learns the matching of Rabbi Natan and Tanakama with Rav and Shmuel, that Rabbi Natan is Rav and the Tanakama is Shmuel. On the other hand, Tosfos says, right, the Rabbi Natan, sever like Shmuel. That Rabbi Natan holds like Shmuel. Why? Just like by, he needs a kinyan choshuv by the otiot more than the Tanakama, so too by the Sfina. Just like by the kinyan ashtar, he requires a much more formidable kinyan. So too over here, by the boat itself, by the Sfina, he also requires a higher level of kinyan. What's the higher level of kinyan? That's like Shmuel. So the Tanakam will be like Rav, that you need kinyan kosher by Mishicha, and along comes Rabbi Natan and says, no, you need not only a kinyan kosher, you need a kinyan that is the whole length of the boat, like Shmuel. So it's machlokus, which way to learn what Rav and Shmuel applying to this machlokit Tanaim. But the reason why it's not really meaningful is because the Gdochet right now. So the Gemara says, look, the Kuliyama, Ikarav, Ikishmoel, that either they hold like Rav or like Shmuel, each one according to his own opinion. I mean, Rav will explain the Braisa saying that Kinyan Mashicha means kosher throughout the Braisa, and Shmuel will say that it means a Kinyan of the length of the boat, right? It's Kula. He'll explain through the Braisa. What is their Machukas? If the Tanakhama and Rabbi Natan both say that a Kinyan Mashicha suffices by Sfina, so when it says, Kuliyama lo plige, ki plige ba'otiyot. By Sfina, everybody agrees that a Kinyan Mashicha is sufficient. The Machlokas in this Braisa has nothing to do with Sfina. Everybody says, Sfina, Kinyan Mashicha. What is their Machlokas? Their Machlokas is by a Kinyan Shtar. What's that? The Tanakhama says that, Otiot b'Mesira. You're able to acquire another Shtar through a Kinyan Mesira. Whereas the Rabbi Natan says you need a Shtar. Now when he says he needs a Shtar, we're going to see in a second, it means Af Shtar. Also a star. Not that a star instead of a Kinyan Mesira, but a star plus Mesira is what's going to work over here. So, Vachi Kamar Le Rabbi Natan, Latana Kama, Besvina, Vadai Modina Lecha. Says, I agree with you, by a Kinyan Mesicha, by Svina, that is sufficient. Beotiot, right? Iika star in Ilolo. But when it comes to a Kinyan of another star, right, then only if there's a Kinyan Mesira with the Shtar does it work. But a Kinyan Mesira by itself is not sufficient. I mean, if you want to sell, right, a debt document, you have an outstanding debt document over here, and you want to sell it to a third party, the only way, the Tanakhama says, you want to sell it to a third party, Kinyan Mesira, that's how you do it. As the Ashram pointed out before, Kinyan Mesicha would not work over here because the underlying document does not gufo mamon. So Kinyan Mesicha is not relevant over here. So what is relevant is a Kinyan Mesira, which is handing it from one party to the other. Meaning that you grant it from the Malveh to this third party that's buying it, that Kinyan Mesira will work. That's the Tanakhama. Rav comes Rabbi Natan and says that's not sufficient. A Kinyan Mesira by itself would not be sufficient. You need a Kinyan Mesira with a Ktiva Teshtar. And their Machlokas is similar to Flukta Dahani Tanai, similar to the same as Machlokas Tanaim that we've seen together before in Kiddushin. The Tanya, Otiot, Niknot, Bimisira, Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi believes that all you need in order to transfer a loan document is a simple Kinya Misira, passing on the document. Vachamimarim, Ben Katav, Velo Masar, Ben Masar, Velo Katav. Each one independently is not sufficient. A Tivat Ashtar on this without a Misira does nothing, because you need some form of Kinyan over here. The Shtar is not a Kinyan. On the other hand, if you have a Kinyan Mesira without a Shtar, it's also not sufficient, because the Mesira in and of itself, right, is not enough. Why? Because he could just say, listen, he sold you the paper. Right? Your Kinyan Mesira, all it shows you is that you bought the paper from him. That is it. You can use it now to make a plug, a cork in your bottle. You want to use the paper for something? Go ahead. But you didn't buy what's written in the document. How do we know that you bought what's written in the document? That you have to document. You need another Shtar to indicate what you bought was not simply a plug or a cork, but that you bought something, what's written in the Shtar. So that's what you need a Shtar for. So actually,
the Shtar says.
But the Shtar doesn't say anything. The Shtar says that Malve, Love owes Malve. That's what the Shtar says. So now I'm holding on to this document. Why do I have this document? Because you bought the paper. It was a used up document. There's nothing to do with it. How do I know that what Love owes Malve now applies to me? I need a Shtar to tell me that. So that's right. So it's no good. Actually, Chto Vimsor. But you need both. You need the Ktivat HaShtar plus the Mesira. You need both of them to affect the Kinyan over here. So my Ukimto Karabi. So, oh, wait a minute. You're establishing that Rabbi over here is the, right, Tanakhama of the Braisa. Just like the Tanakhama says, Otiot b'Mesira. Rabbi says, Otiot b'Mesira. So therefore, he is the Tanakhama of our Braisa over here. So what it says, but then if it's Rabbi, Sfina, Nami Tikne b'Mesira. Then Sfina should also work with the Kinyan Mesira. Meaning, why does the Tanakhama over here only say Sfina is b'Meshicha? He could also do a Kinyan Mesira over here. Why? The Tanya, Sfina, Niknate, B'Mesira, Dibbe Rabbi. Rabbi's explicit that he thinks that a Sfina, that a boat, can be acquired through a Kinyan Mesira. That the only way to acquire a boat is through a Kenyan Mishicha, or until you rent the place underlying it, meaning that you do a Kenyan Chatzer, Kenyan Agav, you do somehow, you create it, that it's in your property, and therefore you're taking possession of it. So Mar says, if that's the case, why does our Tana Kampa say that Sfina b'mishicha, Otiyot b'misira? Okay, Otiyot b'misira, you can explain according to Rabbi. But what are you going to do with the Sfina, Yidei Mishicha? If it's Rabbi's, the author, or the position that's being expounded upon, and it's the Tana Kampa, or explained as the Tana Kampa, then it should also be Sfina b'misira. So Mar says, well, Kasha, that's not a problem. Kan b'shuta Rabbim, kan b'simta. It depends where you're located. Right? It depends where you're located, because where you're located makes a difference in what type of kinyan you can affect over here. That if you are in the Rishut HaRabim, in the Rishut HaRabim is a Rishut that belongs to nobody. Nobody has permission. I mean, it's a Rishut that belongs to everybody, but nobody's able to establish a possession or location within the Rishut HaRabim. And that's a problem. Why? Because a kinyan Meshicha requires you to bring it into your possession. Kinyan Meshicha, the idea of a kinyan Meshicha as opposed to Mesira, this is what we discussed yesterday a little bit, we're going to discuss it again now. Kinyan Meshicha is that it's an ability to do a unilateral kinyan, in the sense that you bring whatever this object is into your possession. But you have to have a location that is somewhat your possession in order to bring it into your possession. Kinyan Mesira, on the other hand, it can be affected by passing from one to the other, meaning that it's a movement of ownership from the mocher to the konet. And therefore the mocher, who is giving over the object to you, can affect that transaction even when it's not your property. Because it's a relinquishing of his ownership and passing that ownership to you. So when you have two parties, that's not a problem. You can do that even in Rishut HaRabim. So that'll be the answer over here. True. When you're in a Rishut HaRabim, then a kinyan mesira works. Right, so since a kinyan mesira works there, that's what Rabbi says. With the price of what Rabbi says, that kinyan mesira works with a sfina, that's when you're in a shut rabim. But when you're in a simta, when a simta is the sides, right, or small offshoots of the shut rabim, these are areas where when the shut rabim gets too full, people push into those areas. But on the other hand, they are areas with less traffic flow. They're areas that have obstacles, and people have basically a social contract, then in those areas, people can sit down, they can rest, they can establish some sort of ownership in those areas. Not ownership to mean that they own it, but they can put their wares down. They can make for a temporary time, they can establish ownership in those areas. So if that's the case, then you can do a kinyan meshicha, because a kinyan meshicha requires you to have ownership or property, so that'll be work in the simta, and that'll be the answer. The brisa
considered their property.
Right, enough of their property, right, to be considered a kinyan, because even in a reshus that is chaser shel shnehem, a chaser that belongs to both of you is enough. You can do a kinyan meshicha there because you have some sort of ownership there. So your meshicha is demonstrating taking the object into your possession. So now we have that the brisa, let's just look at this carefully, the first brisa between the Machlokas Tana Kamma and Rabbi Natan, the brisa says, Sfina niknet b'mishicha, right? And Otiyot b'misira, that Sfina that's niknet b'mishicha is talking about a simta. That's why it's good with a kinyan mishicha. The other brisa that we brought, that Rabbi's opinion, Sfina niknet b'misira, that's talking about where? In Rishut HaRabim. So that's the other case. So now, what? Oh, so very good. So Shaul raises an interesting. Maybe I was going to wait a little more to do it, but now that you raised the issue, we'll talk about it. Right. So your assumption is that in the Rishut HaRabim you can only do Mesira, and that is subject to a major machlokas. We actually saw it together in Kiddushin. There it was a machlokas.
What would be the Mesira
or Meshicha? Right. The question is, how do Mesira and Meshicha relate to each other? Which one is the better kinyan? Which is a better kinyan? Kinyan Meshicha or kinyan Mesira? So the Gemara in, or the Mishnah, it's really a Mishnah in Kiddushin says, Behema Gasa Niknet B'Mesira, Badaka B'Hagba'ah. Alright, so then we have Rabbi Chamim Ramin, Behema Daka Niknet B'Mesicha. Now, that when it says Behema Gasa Niknet B'Mesira, what does that mean? That a Behema Gasa, a large animal, which you don't do Agba'ah on, right, and you don't do, seems like Meshicha on it, why is Mesira the one mentioned in the Mishnah? So Rashi tells you, you know why it's mentioned in the Mishnah? He says, because a behema daka can be, a behema gas can be nicknamed b'misira, ava meshicha lo mekanya, dein darka b'kach lo licha lefanav. Meshicha is not the type, this is not the That's not the proper type of kinyan over here. Mishicha needs to be driven, needs to be... All right, this is inappropriate. Mesira is a higher form of kinyan. Mishicha, it doesn't work over here.
So is a higher form of kinyan in that case? Or is there a...
All right, so it sounds like it might be that Rashi is saying in that case, but Tosfos reads it...
I'm saying that's not how you typically acquire it.
Right.
You know, that type of
animal. Very good. But the Tosfos reads Rashi as being Perish Pekuntris. I read the Tosfos over there. Dafka b'mesira, aval mishicha lo kanya, dein garka b'kachol l'chafanav. Mashma l'perusho, de mesira adifa mishicha. And it says that his conclusion from this is Rashi thinks that a kinyan mesira is better than a kinyan mishicha. Now, the Rashbam right here in our Gemara says just the opposite. The Rashbam says that what we're trying to do, the best kinyan would be a kinyan mishicha. When do we allow you to do a mesira? When a mesicha doesn't work. So for instance, in Rishut Rabim, where a mesicha can't work, then we'll let you do a kinyan mesira. Whereas, I'll read you the words of the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam says, in a simta where you can do a kinyan mesicha, we're going to opt for kinyan mesicha. Why? Right, so because... He says over here, "V'yesh reshut la'adam l'shevet shem, hari hu b'shut kol mi shomed shem liknot meshicha kilu reshuto. V'kevin de'efshar b'meshicha, lav orcha de'simta b'mesira v'lo mekanya mesira." He says that since you could do a meshicha, we're not going to allow you to do it. We're not going to say that the derech to do it is a mesira, because a mesira is a kinyan garua. Right? It's the lower form, or not the better form of kinyan. So when you have an option between Meshicha and Mesira, what are you going to pick? Meshicha. But if you can't do Meshicha, then you're forced to do Mesira, and we'll only opt on it. Subject to Machlokas over here, basic Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos in Kiddushin. Here it's between the Rashbam over here and Rabbeinu Tam, which is the better Kenyan. Is Mesira a better Kenyan? And Meshicha we allow you to do as an option, right? Or is Meshicha the better Kenyan? And Mesira we only do when Meshicha is not applicable. So the Rashbam over here says clearly, Meshicha is the best form of Kinyan. The Rashi in Kiddushin says that it's Mesira is the better form of Kinyan. The Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi. The Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi both say Mesira is the better Kinyan, and the Rashbam and the Riva, or the, it's the Rashi. Over here it's the Riva and the Ri also agree with the Rashbam that the Omer Ri that the case over here is a case of what? Case of Meshicha being the better Kinyan.
What does the Rashba bring to support? What's forcing him to say?
That a Meshicha is a better.
Is a lesser
Oh, so one of the best proofs.
Counterintuitive.
Right, so one of the best proofs is the Gemara right here, Ayin Vav, which is Mayukim to other Gemara said, Karebi. So Sfina, Nami, Tikne, Bimisira. The Gemara says, Sfina should also be allowed to be done with the Mesira. So what's that indicated of? Indication is that Meshicha works for sure. But Rabbi, even a Mesira should work. Well now, if you think Mesira is the better Kinyan, it should be, Rabbi says, Svina b'Mesira, period. Because Meshicha shouldn't work at all. The fact that the Gemara asks on Rabbi and says that Rabbi's opinion is that Mesira, af Mesira, even Mesira works, is an indication that Meshicha is the real Kinyan. But Rabbi allows you also to do a Kinyan Mesira. I'm sorry?
Proof
right, exactly.
So what's forcing the Rashbam to say that Mesira is the better Kinyan?
He doesn't say that. The Rashbam says that Meshicha is the better Kinyan, just like Tosfos the Ri.
Oh,
Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam say that Mesira is a better Kinyan.
Is that right? It's only right if you accept as a premise that there is a better Kinyan and an inferior Kinyan.
Okay, so what we'll see, first of all, that isn't true. Hagbah, we're going to see...
In general.
Okay, so the Gemara will say this in a second, that Hagbah can wipe out other... If Hagbah is the proper Kenyan, you may not use other Kenyanim. That there is such a concept. We're going to see this later in the Gemara. One is better than the other, then we'll tell you you have to do the Kenyan that way. You must do the Kenyan that way, and the other one will not work. That's basically what Rashi and the Rashbam are saying.
The whole concept of Kenyan is mere status, right? If there is maybe an implication, then it's not such a clear statement that you're acquiring it.
I think that's right.
So a lack of Brizna.
I agree with you. I think that's it. That the optimal kinyan will become the kinyan for any object. If you have a choice between Mashiach and Masira, we're going to tell you you have to use the one that is optimal in those cases. So now, the reason Tam, what bothers Rabbeinu Tam is, V'kash L'Rabbeinu Tam, V'chi Mashiach U'Masira Mitzvotein, She'en La'sod Ela Min HaMuvchar, which is what you're asking. Uh-huh. What? Who cares? No, right, he's saying. So why, what is it? Why do you have to do it? Exactly your question, which is, if you're saying that there's an optimal kinyan, you have to do it. That's what the Rashbam said, explicitly. Since Mashiach is the better kinyan, you should pick Mashiach, and Masira doesn't work. The Rabbeinu Tam says, what do you mean? Mashiach U'Masira Mitzvotein, She'en La'sod Ela Min HaMuvchar? What do you mean? So that's it. So now, Vomari Dein Zukasha. That's not a question. The Chi, we're going to see in a second, the Gemara. The Chi Agavna, the Kaman. Dagba Chashuva Yoterim, right? Mivatel Sharki Nanyanim. When you have a better Kenyan, it's Mivatel, the other Kenyanim, or the other options. And I think it's for what Shaul said over here, which is that there is a din of Kamir said that. And if you're not doing what is the best functional Kenyan in this case, people don't assume that you've sold the item or you've done it. That's the Gemir Tadar, or the final, the conclusion of this transaction is determined by the action that is the optimal Kenyan in this case. If they're going to do a subpar Kenyan, then people are just going to think he's playing around, he's not really done with the transaction. That's not a done transaction. Now, the Reis says that Mashicha is more chashuv, right, than Mesira, whereas the Rabbeinu Tam, and I'll read you the Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam Perish, the Mesira Difa Mashicha, and this is, I think, Tzvi, you were suggesting over here. Isn't Mesira, shouldn't Mesira be the better Kenyan? Because, Mishum, the Mesira Miyad Liyad, number one, Mesira is handing it one person to the next. Ubefanav, and in front of the, right, the buyer and seller are present there. Vikanya Bishut Rabim. And it also works in Rishut Rabim, B'chosh Kim Simta. And the Mesira has all these benefits of a Kenyan, which is that there are two parties involved. It's done Miyad Liyad, and it can be done in the Rishut Rabim. And so that's why. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, listen, Mesira's got to be a better Kenyan. The Re's response to the Rabbeinu Tam comes from what we learned yesterday, which is that the Rabbeinu Tam over here makes an underlying assumption. Rashi says the same thing in Kiddushin, which seems to be that Mesira is a din of Miyad Liyad, from one hand to the other. In that Mesira is something where you physically hand over the object. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. The Rabbeinu Tam says it's a better Kenyan because you have hand-to-hand plus bufanav. We saw that the Re disagrees with that underlying premise. The Re says that a Kenyan Mesira, we saw that he argued on the Riva yesterday. The Riva says it's a Kenyan Miyad Liyad. And the Re says, no, it's not. A Kenyan Mesira does not have to be a Kenyan Miyad Liyad. And the Rabbeinu Tam says it's Miyad Liyad and bufanav. The Re says, no, it's either one or the other. You don't have both of those items here. Where is it? Right. So that's it. So the Re says, over here, Masha Pirish to Mesira Miyad Liyad ain't nearer the Re. You could appreciate that, like we explained in the Tosos yesterday, that Mesira is not Miyad Liyad. Mesira just means that the Mocher has to permit or tell you to take the object. So that either means Lechazek Ukne, you can go take it, or he hands it physically without saying something. But you can't have both. It's not both Bifanav and Miyad Liyad. It's one or the other. So now that's it. Bahadam Matsuch Nem Bifanav, Luyadari Minali. Since when do you have to give over an object in front of the, right? Where does that have to be in front of? Well, we catch the Re, the P perish Rabbeinu Tam, my duch okay lishnuye kan besimta, kan b'shut rabim. Over here in our Gemara, why is the Gemara's answer simta and reshut rabim? Litchok lomar, achim shechenam reshut rabim lisimta, and in the end the Gemara pulls it from the, said to the end, we didn't get there yet, but it goes from the reshut rabim simta, lukbino tervayo besimta. Right, that they could explain that both of them were in a simta, ubekpeda plige, which we're going to see in the Gemara in a second, why it makes a difference, which one is the more important kinyan, is because what happens if the person says for certain, do this kinyan, take this animal through this kinyan. Do we say that he really means take it through this kinyan, or is he just telling you, do this, take the animal? Is it a mare makom, or is he indicating the kinyan? That would depend on which one you think is the better kinyan. I mean, depending, if he tells you the worst kinyan, he's probably not telling you anything, but if he tells you the better kinyan, and then you don't listen, right, and don't do what he says, maybe that won't affect the kinyan. That's why the Re rejects this Rabbeinu Tam's understanding that the Mesira is a better form of kinyan. He says, I don't see that being the case. He says that the Mesira is the subform or the subset of Mishicha. Mishicha is the ultimate form of control, like Shaul suggested, and a Mesira is only done when you can't have, when you lack the ability to exert control, then we need the Mocher involved. That's what you're suggesting. The Mocher compensates for your lack of ability to exert control, because you can't bring it into your power, like Rishut the Rabbim. So the Mocher is compensating for the lack of your ability to exercise control here.
Right.
Very good. Tosos is shita by Katan is exactly that. Very good. By Hefker. Why Hefker versus Katan. Very good. So that's just the first part of this. It's interesting machlokas. It involves both the machlokas that we saw yesterday of kinya mesira, whether it has to be miyad liyad physically or not. And number two, this machlokas that we saw in Gemara and Kedushim between Rashi and Tosfos over there. In Tosfos and Ari over there, that over here we see it's a machlokas between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam as well. Whether mesira or meshicha is the better kinya. So we're just continuing the Gemara now. Gemara says, b'mayum kimta lahad batraita b'shut rabim. Right now, you explained that this latter brisa, I mean the brisa over here where Rebbe says that a kinyan mesira works by a boat, you said that is, right, according to, that is in Rishut Rabim. So now, ema seifa, what are you going to do with the chachamim amrim? Lo kana, adshim shachena, right? The chachamim say you can't do it until you have a kinyan mesicha. So where it says, first of all, ib Rishut Rabim, miman ogir. If it's really in Rishut Rabim, the chachamim suggestion is either you do a kinyan mesicha, or you rent the space. How do you rent the space in Rishut Rabim? That doesn't make any sense. But two, Meshicha Rishut Rabim, Mikanya. A Meshicha and Rishut Rabim, everybody agrees, doesn't work. So how can the Chachamim say, no, Rabbi, you're wrong. Oh, you want to do a Kinyan Mesira and Rishut Rabim? No, that doesn't work. You do either a Kinyan Meshicha or rent the space. That you can't do that in Rishut Rabim. Mesira works in Rishut Rabim. Uvachatzer she'enu shel shneihem, or a chatzer that belongs to neither of them. Meshicha kone b'simta works in a simta. Uvachatzer she'enu shneihem. Again, simta and chatzer she'enu shneihem is a place where you have some sort of control. So if you bring the animal into those areas, you're exerting control. V'agba kone b'chol makom, and agba works everywhere. I mean, agba is the best form of kinyan. So Gemara says, "Ma'yachim shechena nami dekamar." What does it mean? "Achim shechena" according to the Chachamim. "Ma'yachim score" it's mikoma. What does that mean? Dekamar, achi kamar. "Achim shechena mishut rabim l'simta." As the Chachamim say, no, you can't do a kinyan mesira in the Rishut Rabim. You have to do a kinyan meshicha. And how do you do a kinyan meshicha? You take it from the Rishut Rabim into the simta. V'im Rishut Balim he, right? If it's Rishut Balim, lo kana it shiskort mukoma. If it's the Rishut of the Balim, then you can't take it until you are socher that place. What do you mean Rishut Balim? So the Rashba means that Rishut Balim over here is the Rishut HaMocher. That it's the place of the Mocher. Since it's the place of the Mocher, you can't affect a Kinyan Meshicha over there. Since you can't affect a Meshicha in the Rishut HaMocher, therefore you have to rent the space in order to get it if you want to do it in the Rishut HaMocher. The Tosfos disagrees and says that Rishut Balim, right, is not Rishut Mocher, but the Rashba over in the Tosfos says that Rishut Balim, lab Rishut Mocher, kamar l'klomer, I Rishut Sheyesh La Balim hi. If the Rishut that has owners, then you have to rent the space from them, because you don't have any ownership there. But if there's ownership there, then another alternative is not to take the Kinyan Meshicha out of there, but rather to simply rent the space in which it is, because you have Balim, which you can rent it from. Those are the two explanations. Now, the Gemara says, so let us say over here, okay, if that's the explanation, Lema, Abaye Varavo, Damri Karabi. Let's say that Abaye and Rav are holding like Rabbi. Why? What is our case here? Our case is a case where we have a boat in Rishut HaRabim. Oh, in Rishut HaRabim, what does Rebbe say? Rebbe says, Kinyan Mesira works. Chachamim say it doesn't work. You got to do a Kinyan Meshicha and take it into a Simta. We just had Abaye and Rav say, Mesira Kone Rishut HaRabim. Mesira works in Rishut HaRabim. Mesira works in Rishut HaRabim. It's only going to work according to Rabbi. Rabbi's the only one who says that in Rishut HaRabim it works. So now that's the Gemara's thing. Lema Abaye v'Rav Amar K'Rabbi. Let's say that Abaye and Rav hold like Rabbi. Amar Avashi, Ida Amar Lechazeku Knei Hochanami. No, even the Chachamim agree that if he says Lechazeku Knei, that, and this is one of the proofs of the Re, that you don't need Miyad Miyad, this is one of the roofs, the biggest proofs by Mesira that you don't need it. He says, if the Mocher, the seller says Lechazeku Knei, even the Chachamim agree that a Kinyan Mesira works in Rishut HaRabim. That the Sfina could have been done by Kinyan Mesira. He said, go do a Kinyan Meshicha on the boat. So Marsa Var Kbeda, the Chachamim say no. When he says Leich Meshochu Knei, he literally means do a Kinyan Meshicha. Kinyan Meshicha doesn't work in Rishut HaRabim. So the only way to affect it is to take it from the Rishut HaRabim into the, right, Simta. And then Rabbi believes not that he's telling him specifically do a Kinyan Meshicha, but rather what is he telling him? He's telling him, make a Kinyan. This is yours to take. He suggests doing a Kinyan Meshicha, but a Mesira will work as well. And so Rabbi says, he's just telling him, take possession of it. Take possession of it, you could do in Rishut HaRabim a Kinyan Mesira. If you want to do a Kinyan Meshicha, you got to take it to the Simta. So he's saying simply, it's a Mare Makom over here. Now, that was one of the Re's questions on the Rabbeinu Tam. According to this, it sounds like Kinyan Meshicha is the better Kinyan. Because he's saying, Lech Meshochu Knei. Lech Meshochu Knei, meaning that, go ahead and do a Kinyan Meshicha. So now, if you say it's a Kepeda, that he's Makbid, that he does a Kinyan Meshicha, that's only true if a Kinyan Meshicha is a better Kinyan. It's saying, do Meshicha, not Mesira. But if you're going to say that Mesira is the better Kinyan, like the Rabbeinu Tam, then he says to him, go do a Kinyan Meshicha, and then he says, if he's Makbid on a Kinyan Meshicha, then certainly Mesira should work if it's a better Kinyan. Right, so that's what the Rabbeinu Tam, the Reeves question of Rabbeinu Tam was, why doesn't the Gemara over here say, Idi v'idi v'simta, they're both in a simta, and he could say to him, Lech meshoch uknei b'mesira. Go take a kinyan b'mesira. And then the question will be, is he makpina mesira only and not meshicha? Or is he saying mesira is just marim makom and he can only do meshicha? The fact that the Gemara uses the example of the lower kinyan as being meshicha over here, being the higher kinyan being meshicha over here, seems to indicate like the Ri. It's one of the Ri's proofs against the Rabbeinu Tam. Alright. So now, Marzer Makom, Amar Rapapa. Rapapa says, person who sells a shtar, so now we're on back to Kinyan Otiot, Otiot Mesira, can you sell a shtar? Person who says a shtar, he has to write, he has to write in the shtar, he has to write, take possession of it, and every shibud that's in it. According to the Rashbam over here, he's explaining the position of the Chachamim. But Papa holds like the Chachamim, and Papa holding like the Chachamim says, listen, when the Chachamim require both, a kinyan mesira and a right ktiba. I mean, Rabbi says that you can acquire a shtar simply through mesira. Chachamim say no, you need mesira and ktiba to shtar. So, but Papa's all he's going to do is explain the chachamim. I hold like the chachamim. What is the shtar? What has to be written in this shtar that the chachamim have? That's what he's saying to you now. Kelei the chahu v'chol shibuda debay. If they get in all the shibud that's in it, that's what's written in the shtar. The Rashba over here in the Tulsa suggests that Papa doesn't have to be holding like the chachamim. This even can be according to Rabbi. That even according to Rabbi, there's a requirement, Baal Peh, to say such a thing. Rabbi doesn't require you to write a shtar to transfer the shtar. But he says you need a kinyan mesira, and for him to say to you, take possession of this, plus a shibud. So maybe Rabbi, this could even be according to Rabbi. Rabbi doesn't require the michtav, but he requires if you want to have possession of the shtar through mesira, then you have to have this stated over here. That's the rational suggestion over here. That has other implications in other Gemaras, which I don't think are relevant to us. But just know that the Rashbam says Rapapa's clearly Shita is now like the Rabbanon. And the Rashba says it's not necessarily a proof that Rapapa holds like the Rambanan over Rebbe, because we can explain Rebbe in Rapapa. Now, Amar Rav Ashi. Amrita the Shmaita Kameda Rav Kahana. I said over this whole thing in front of Rav Kahana. Amrita, time of dichtivle. The only reason that the Kenyan works by a shtar is because you wrote another shtar. Hachi, halo katovle, hachi, lo kani. If you didn't write exactly like Rav Papa suggests, or you didn't write a shtar, it wouldn't work. V'chid l'tzura al-pitz l'chit u'tzarich. Why would he buy the shtar? I think David asked this before. I mean, what else are you buying the shtar for? You're not buying the shtar. Nobody buys a shtar to plug or cork a, right, a cork a bottle with it. You paid for a shtar because you want to be the collection over here. You want to become the malva. You want to become the creditor. So he says, what is that? How could it be? So he says, Armali, in, let's sur. Exactly, yes. In Achanami, bought it to be tzur. Ah, so the Rashbam asked the question, which we had in other places. V'adami modin. Look at the price. Look at the price. Before, in the last parak, we said, look at the price. We said, what did Rashbam say? Ain't no other karko? So you can't look at the price. Tosu said, no, it's not ain't no other karko, but there is no damim in karka. Karka doesn't have a fixed price because different people take different things. But paper, you can tell the difference. If a guy's buying, there's a 1,000 shekel loan in this paper, or he's buying it for a cork. If he buys it for a cork, he pays 5 shekel for it. If he's buying it for the loan, he's going to pay 800 shekel. He's going to pay some discount to the 1,000, but he's going to buy the loan. So how could you say the damim ain't modim? So Rashbam, you know what the Rashbam says? Ain't no chanami. If you say that the damim modim here, there is ona, and what will happen? This transaction will fail. It'll be a mekachtos. Yeah, you're right. You're right. He will say, you bought the paper. Ah, you bought the paper. He's saying, I paid for much more than a paper. So he says, you're right. So that's ona, and it's mekachtos. And then you can reverse the transaction. That's what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says that damim will be modim over here. What does it mean, damim modim? That the transaction will fail. There's ona, and the transaction will fail.
But he does not want to reverse the transaction. It's mekuyim.
Yeah, it's mekuyam for paper. He pays 800 shekel for paper. That's right. It's mekuyam for buying paper. That's the problem here. The problem is he's buying paper. If he's buying paper, he's paid too much money for paper. You want to be mekuyam that transaction? Sure, you can have the paper for 800 shekel. That's not. It's a mekuchtos over here. He's going to definitely reverse the transaction. It makes no sense for him to keep the transaction. Now, we're going to get to...
He really, really needs a piece of paper.
Right. So the what we'll get to tomorrow, we won't do this today's daf, is about the Psak Halacha, who the Psak Halacha is like. What we will deal today is a very, very important, a massive Machlokes HaRishonim, and very, very important, is the Tosfos over here, which is, can you sell Ishtar Min HaTorah, or is this all a creation Mi Drabanan? We did it before in Kiddushin, we mentioned in Ksubos also, right, which comes down to actually a Gemara further on here in Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Bet. That Gemara is a pivotal Gemara in what we do, or how we talk about Shtar over here. I'll send you all the Mekorot afterwards, but I have all the Mekorot for here and for the previous sugya that we did. It says, I'll read you the Gemara for the Av. Amar Rav Nachman, Afagal Damar Shmuel. Shmuel makes a statement which has implications. Hamocher Shtar Chov V'Chaviro, V'Chazaru Machlo. Person sells a debt document to his friend, and then afterwards forgives the loan. Machul. It works. Even if you've sold the debt document, right? What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says you can be mochel on that, and the mechila works. So feel your reish mochel. Even an inheritor, if you inherit this from your father, you're allowed to be mochel on that loan, even though now it was sold out. Yeah, even though your father sold on it. So he says modish Shmuel b'shchimira. By shchimira, that you're not allowed to be mochel. Why can't you be mochel by shchimira? So this is it. Iyamar, listen to the gemara. Iyamar b'shlamo do reisa, right? A shimcha, if he gives you a document, a debt document, as a shimcha, he says, give this document of debt to this person, then he can't be mochel. He can't be mochel.
The
owner can't be mochel, the shimcha. Right, exactly, so he can't be mochel. He can't, and his yoresh can't be mochel. So, if you say Shchimira, giving over documentation, when the Shchimira gives a command, we have to listen Minat Torah. Shumachi ene yecholim chol. That's why you can't be mochel. El Iyamar derabonon. If you say it's a din derabonon, amay eno yecholim chol. Why can't he be mochel? Demar says ene shel Torah vasu shel kol Torah. Truthfully, Shchimira is not a din Torah, but the Gelchamim give it a power of Torah. What's clear from here in this Gemara, what sounds very clear from this Gemara, is that if it was Midrabanan, they believe that you could be Mochel on the Shtar. If it's Del Raisa, then you could not be Mochel on the Shtar. What's the implications here? It's clear that if we believe in all these other cases that you can be Mochel on the Shtar, that means that the Kinyan is only Midrabanan. The Kinyan is simply Midrabanan. That's what the Re says over here. That's what the Tosfos brings over here. Obviously, that Kinyan Otiyot by Shtar is simply a Din Derabonan. It's a Din Derabonan because otherwise, how could you be Mochel in the Shtar? That makes sense, meaning that if the rights of the Shtar is not really sold. So therefore, when you're Mochel, your Mechila works. Why could you sell the Shtar? That's a creation Derabonan. It's a Kana Derabonan that you're allowed to sell a Shtar. Why do they institute such a takan? In order to provide for commercial transactions to provide. What about Kodesh? You can't be Magdish something. That's one of the other things here. Why can't you be Magdish something over here? Why if you have a Shtar, you can't be Magdish it? If you have a Shibra Kaka or something like that, why can't you be Magdish it? So they might say over there, you can't be Magdish it because Eno Bishuto. It's not in possession, just like over here. The loan's not in your possession, right? Why are you able to be Mochel on it? Right, by Kodesh, that requires it to be both Birshuto and Baluto. Alright, so then the Tosa says that the Kana Chamimei was only for transactions or commercial. They're not going to make a Takana that Kodesh should work in these instances because nobody's thinking about that. That's not a common type of case. Now, is it true that we're going to go through it, the Sugya, but is it Derabonon u Deoraisa? The first person to address, and not really the first, but he's really the one who documents it first, is the Rif. The Rif says, why when you're Mochel on a Shtar does it work? So the Rif brings before him that there were many people. He says, "V'chazina lemikziat revuta darmei hainu taima." The mocher shtar chol v'chareil diachol machlo ben hu ben yoreis. Why are you allowed to be mochel in shtar? So this is a Rif that's found in Ksubos and Memdalad Amid Aleph in the Dapei Rif. It's the Dapei Vav, I think, in the Gemara in Ksubos. Is mishum diachol meimar ayanti bechushpani. He can say, "I looked into my payments, my accounting. V'lo pashli gabei v'lo mitei. I have nothing to pay." I have nothing left to pay over here. Inami, istapakli milsa. Right? I have a doubt about it. Ipriya ilopriya, whether it's paid or not. Umisveka loma gvina bishtara. With a suffake, we don't take with a shtar. Meaning that the Melville over here can basically say, listen, I looked through my documents and I realized that he really paid me back. Or I realized, oh, I'm not sure that he paid me back. If he's paid back already the loan, or if the loan is a suffake it's paid back or not, the document's meaningless in that context. So that's why he can be mochel. Why can the malveh be mochel? Because he can do the same thing, he can create the same circumstance by saying the loan was already repaid. Shema mina, the lo matzi meir l'rachim, mishum destame. So he says, It rejects this explanation of the Gaonim before him, that the explanation for why you can be machal on a shtar is because you have the right to say that it was already paid, or you can say that I don't know if it was paid or not, and that will undermine the shtar, so too you can be machal on a shtar. So he says, what's the reason? The Rif brings the reason. They made it like a din d'oraisa. So the implications are, from this, the reason you can't be mochel in a shtar is because it was sold mid'oraisa. Mashma, right? If it was only sold midrabanan, you could be mochel. And therefore, the fact that you can be mochel in ishtarot over here is an indication that the sale was only midrabanan. You can only sell that document midrabanan, and that's why you can be mochel on it. That's the Rif's conclusion. The Rambam, following in his footsteps of the Rif, codifies the halacha this way. It says, the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Vav Halachi Bez, Kinyan ishtarot, bederach hazot, midivrei shtofrim. Selling shtarot is a din derabanan. That you can't sell intangible items. You can't sell what's intangible in the document. The only thing you can't sell is the gufa davar, the document itself, the paper is the only thing you can sell mina Torah. You can't sell what's written in the document. The fikach, as in the Rambam. The Rambam connects the two clearly, that since it's only sold me the rabbonon, therefore you can be mochel, that is the Rif. The Raivet is Mesig on the spot. The Raivet on the spot says, V'lo min Hashem huzeh. The reason he can be mochel has nothing to do with the fact that the sale is only midrabanan. The Raivet says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The reason that he can be mochel, or the reason that it can't be sold, is because there's no shibud. The shibud that was established,
except the
shibud
to this
one. I said it to the malveh. You have no rights over me. He wants to forgive that shibud. That's fine. That's the right bit over here. We'll get back to the right bit in a second, but we'll go through it. The Tosfos in many places. There's a Tosfos in Ksubas and Pehei Amud Bet. There's a Tosfos here in Baba Basra, here on Ayin Vav Amud Bet. And there's a Tosfos in Baba Metzia, which is also in Baba Amud Bet. In all these places, the Tosfos brings a Perish Rabbeinu Tam. It actually mixes it up in some places. Sometimes it quotes from the Ri, sometimes in the Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rabbeinu Tam says you don't have to explain the Gemara here in Baba Basra and Kufim Zayim Amud Bet as being only Deoraisa. That's not the reason. The Gemara is not saying that Shechim Mira is Doraisa, therefore you can't be Mochel. Any other document is only Midrabana and you can be Mochel. The Rabbeinu Tam suggests, there's some Girsol problems, but it's probably the Rabbeinu Tam. Some Tosos even say the Rabbeinu Tam agrees with the Reed. But Rabbeinu Tam says you can even explain the Gemara on Kupnem Zayin of Bet as Doraisa, meaning that all contracts are sold midoraisa. You can sell any debt document midoraisa. What does the Gemara mean on Kuf Zayin Amibet? The Gemara means that by Shechim Meira. Shechim Meira, we have a pasuk about Nachla. There's a pasuk that says, Vavartam Nachlato, that you're able to move Nachla, that the owner has the right to distribute his wealth the way he wants. And because of that, if he's the Yoresh, when a Shechim Meira, we say that it's midoraisa, we mean that we have a pasuk to support what he's doing, and the action that he's taking is now doraisa. The Yoresh is pushed out, because this person becomes the only Yoresh. He becomes the Doraisa owner over here. It's not that Doraisa it's sold, but Doraisa it works because he has a pasuk that allows him to change who the Yoresh of his objects are over here. So the word Doraisa over here is not Doraisa about the contract, the sale of the contract, but Doraisa is about the action that he took. Based on that, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that selling of contracts is Doraisa. The explanation of the Rabbeinu Tam is actually found in the Rosh. The Rosh in Ksubas, in Perek Tet, Siman Yud, brings down from the Rabbeinu Tam what the Rabbeinu Tam's logic was. And this is what he says. Da'ut ha'ima de mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, de mocher shkar chov shiachol limchol, afa pish midoraisa. How can you can be mochel? The big problem, the biggest problem for those that explain that selling a shtar is doraisa is why you're allowed to be mochel on it. So the Raiva just addressed it a little bit, and here it's explicit in the Reino Tam. That's the problem faced by all these. According to those that say that doraisa you can't be mochel. Derabanan, you could be mochel. It's very easy to explain. Midoraisa, he still owns the shtar, so that's why he can be mochel. Midorabanan, we allowed you to sell it. That's very easy to explain. But if you say the shtar is sold midoraisa, how could it be mochel? If it's sold midoraisa, he's totally out of the picture. He sold the document. How could you be mochel? So this is the Rabbeinu Tam. It's a very famous Rabbeinu Tam. It says, Afo pish midoraisa bi mecher mishum de shnei shibudim yesh lo malve alalove. There are actually two shibudim that the creditor has over the land to the debtor. Echad shibud nechasav. One, it says property. His money is subject to that shibud. Echad shigufo mishubad lifro alo. The other one is that he has a personal obligation to pay it back. B'shibud nechasav shaloveh yechol amaveh benkar. What he can't sell is the shibud that involves the property. Anything that deals with real property or deals with a shibud over his property, that you can sell. Aval shibud gufo shaloveh ein kinyan tenitfas alav. When it comes to a shibud aguf, right, you can't sell. Because the shibud aguf is a personal shibud, and that's what the Ravid was, a little bit of what the Ravid was saying. What did the Ravid say when he argued on the Rambam? The Ravid suggested over here that the reason I disagree with the Rambam, why can't he be mochel? It's because he can say, I wasn't mishabed myself to you, I was only mishabed myself to the malveh. That's true. That's exactly what the Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Yeah, the shibud aguf, the personal obligation remains with the original malveh. The property obligation or the monetary obligation moves to the third party. Because of that personal obligation, if you forgive the personal obligation, then you can eliminate the whole obligation. Why is that? That's what he says over here. Right? So gufa avashiba gufo shaloveh and kinyan yifasalav hilka kozman shalom achalo govenechasav shaloveh. As long as he doesn't forgive that kibo shibra guf, there's still an obligation outstanding and the kinyan yichasav, the shibu yichasav remains. Although machala malveh loveh shibu gufo. If the creditor says to the debtor, you no longer write mishubat to me, shenishar etzlo pakan nami shibu nechasim, automatically the shibu nechasim goes. The nixa inish inun arvin bay. Your nechasim are a subset of you. Your nechasim are only basically doing what you have to do. You're obligated to pay, therefore your nechasim are obligated to do it. But if we eliminate your obligation to pay, then your nechasim are not going to be obligated in the case because the original debtedness is gone. Because the shibud aguf is gone. Shnistalik shibud aloveh, nistalik nami shibud nechasav. It goes. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, you can explain, this is midoraisa because the mechila is about two different shibudim. You can sell the shibud nechasim, because that is a tangible, physical object that you can sell. Whereas the shibud aguf, you cannot sell. So the shibud aguf remains with the creditor, and the shibud nechasim goes to the buyer, this third party. Now, the third party can come and collect with the shibud nechasim, as long as what's outstanding, the shibud aguf is still in place, is still in effect. So as long as the shibud aguf is in effect, he comes and claims, because nechasim are just a subset of a shibud aguf. But if the creditor forgives the shibud aguf, then you've eliminated the whole obligation. If you eliminate the obligation, then he can't come and say, well, here, you're nechasim. What do you mean? The nechasim are only a subset of the shibud aguf, so it won't work in that case. So that is the way the Rabbeinu Tam explains it. And there are Shita, the Rab Chaim HaKohen, the Rab Chaim, in Tosos and Baba Messiah says that. So he says that, Nira, listen to this, the Kanem in a Torah, Im Yesh Lelovei Karkaot, Shemocher Lo Shibud. He says that, the way he explains it, it's Doraisa. He explains the difference between selling a Shtar Midoraisa and Midorabanan has to do with whether the Lova has Karka. Does he have a Shibud on the Karka? Why? Because if you have a shibud on the karka, you can sell that shibud a karka midoraisa. Because the shibud a karka has a din that can be sold through a shtar midoraisa. Whereas if you only have a shibud a guf over there, then that cannot be sold midoraisa. So he differentiates. Tosus over here rejects that understanding. Tosus here in Baba Basra says that shibud a guf would not be enough. Just like by hektish, you can't be maktish a shibud a guf. So too over here, you can't sell a shibud a guf on karka. Can't do it. Says that the Kana Chami allowed you to do it, but you can't do midoraisa. He rejects the Rab Chaim. But you see from this, Rabbeinu Chaim in Tosfos, that maybe there is such a differentiation. Shibud aguf on the karka isn't be able to be sold, but shibud aguf that's on the personal person cannot be sold. Somewhere along the lines of Rabbeinu Tam, it's a little more extreme because he's allowing it. Tosfos here rejects it and says even shibud a karka you cannot sell. Now the last thing I would just point out is the Or Sameach suggests another way to explain even midoraisa that you can be mochel. And the Or Sameach on the Hilchos Mechira Perek Vav in the Rambam is he says that the fact that you have to pay back a loan. Do you have to pay back a loan? You borrowed money from someone. The fact that you have to pay back that loan. Why are you obligated to pay back the loan? That's, I mean, that was skillet. He says that's, everybody understands that. That's a basic social structure. Even Ben Noach has to pay back a loan because when you borrow money, you have to pay it back. It's stealing if you don't pay it back. So your obligation to repay the loan, where does it derive from? Does it derive from the fact that there's a shtar here? Or does it derive from the fact that what? That you borrowed money. So then he says, then when you write the shtar, what is the shtar evidence to? Is the shtar evidence to the fact that you're obligated to pay back the money? No. It's a shtar raya with regards to that. The shtar allows you to have a shibud on his nechassim, one. And the shtar is a proof, a shtar raya, not a shtar kinyan, that he has to pay you back. But it's not, the shtar is not what was miyatzer, the chiyuv, to repay it. The shtar did not create your obligation to pay the loan. The obligation to pay the loan devolved on you because you borrowed the money. So therefore, when you sell the shtar, what have you sold? You've sold a kinyan on his nechassim, a shtar kinyan on his nechassim, and you sold the shtar raya, a proof that he owes money. But you can't sell the obligation because the obligation existed without the shtar. The shtar is simply a proof that it existed. And he says that maybe is the explanation of why midoraisa could be mochel on the shtar, because what remains, the original obligation, remains between the creditor and the debtor. That's an obligation that exists without, right, any shtar. The shtar that you sold good. It's a good shtar. It's a good sale. But you sold a shtar raya, proof that there was such an obligation, and you sold the kinyan and the chasim. Therefore, you can't go now, and if there's a mechila, you can't collect with it because you've lost your ability to collect because the obligation did not go along with the shtar. All you brought was the proof that there was such an obligation. You didn't buy the obligation itself. That's the Or Sameach's explanation over here. So just to summarize it, major machlokes bishonim, which we'll get to tomorrow about the Pesach Halacha, whether the ability to sell a debt document is only midrabanan or midoraisa. The Rabbeinu Tam is a major proponent of such a shita that's midoraisa. It sounds like the Raivud also falls in his footsteps. The Rabbeinu Echayin in the Tosos in Bava Metzia suggests that would be true by Shibra Karka. The other Rishonim and connect between the ability to be mochel and the fact that a selling the shtar is only midrabanan. We saw that in the Rif, we saw that in the Rambam, and we saw that in the Ri here in the Tosfos. Okay, we'll stop over here.